Calvary, our sins were judged. Amen? They were judged for eternity. They were judged completely. Hallelujah. The second judgment of Jesus Christ, remember chronologically speaking, is anybody? It's happening daily. How does that help? Self-judgment or chastisement when we don't self-judge as we should. And that's taking place now. As we serve the Lord, when we sin, the Holy Spirit convicts us. We can repent and get right, or we can be stubborn. And if we're stubborn, then the Lord steps in and practices chastisement, which God refers to as judgment. But it's a different kind of judgment. It's not a judgment for our sins to determine heaven or hell. It is a judgment on His children to help them grow and be more like Jesus, just like with our children. We don't discipline our children to pay for the sin, do we? We discipline our children to teach them and to grow them. And that's the purpose of this judgment. The third judgment then, which we will face very soon, we're all going to face it if we're Christians. It is what? Thank you. The judgment seat. Roy, you're not allowed to answer the next one. Not because you don't know it, but because we've got to spread it around a little bit. So next comes the judgment seat of Christ. That is only for Christians. And it will take place when we see the Lord. Amen? And that will not determine whether or not we can go to heaven. That's already been taken care of when we got saved. But it will determine our rewards when we go into heaven, what we chose to do with the time, with the talents, with the gifts that God gave us. Did we choose to serve Him? Did we choose to honor Him with our lives? Or be wasteful with what He gave us? That's what that judgment is for. Then we looked at the next judgment, number four, which takes place after the judgment seat of Christ, and begins with the tribulation period and then culminates with the return of Jesus Christ. So anybody remember what that judgment is, the last one we looked at? I gave you a clue. It's the tribulation period. And who is that judging? Israel. Thank you. So the tribulation period is all God's judgment upon Israel for their disobedience for centuries. Culminates with the return of Jesus. And then we look there in Matthew 25, where some Jews will, at the end of the tribulation period, would have gotten saved, praise God. Some of them will be judged and cast into hell, and some will be allowed to go into the kingdom that they have been waiting for centuries and inherit the kingdom. So that brings us to the fifth judgment. So we'll go to Luke 21 to get started, verse 24. This fifth judgment takes place pretty much at the same time as the fourth judgment, and that is at the return of Jesus Christ. So remember, during the tribulation period, not only have the Jews been on earth, but so have the Gentiles. And so even though the Jews do have a separate judgment, the Gentiles will also be judged when Jesus returns to the earth. And that is our fifth judgment, the judgment of the Gentile nations. Now, if you, Brother Scott, we'll start here with Luke 21, 24, if you could read that for us.
And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled.
So here Jesus is mentioning something called the times of the Gentiles. Now, Daniel alluded to this, and the times of the Gentiles is actually quite a long period of time. How long has it been since Israel had an earthly king? Anybody? Has it been a while? Yes, it has. Of course, we had Solomon. That was when they were at their peak. But then it just fell apart, right, with Jeroboam and Rehoboam. And then it was just centuries of disobedience and good kings and bad kings and good kings and bad kings. Judah and Israel were split. And then there were no kings. And it's been that way for centuries because it's been the time of the Gentiles. And remember when Daniel saw the image, the four parts of the image, were those Jewish nations or Gentile nations? They were all Gentile nations, weren't they? That is still true. And yes, we're in the church age, which is a parenthetical dispensation, as we understand. But we're still in the time of the Gentiles, because Israel is still without a king, without a kingdom, scattered among the four winds, as we read in the scriptures. And so during the times of the Gentiles, a couple of things are true. No Jewish king, which we know. The four Gentile kingdoms, which we saw, were Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, and Rome. They conquered Jerusalem. Many times they've razed Jerusalem to the ground. And then we see in Revelation the 10 Gentile kings coming together, forming an alliance, ultimately against none other than Israel during the tribulation period. The Antichrist rules this agreement, if you will, and halfway through the tribulation period, the Gentiles become everybody's enemy. Sound familiar? It's the way it is now. So, the Gentiles will then also be judged when Jesus returns to the earth. So let's look at another verse, Revelation 11:2, and then we'll pray and get started. So Howard, if you could read that for us. And the return of Jesus will not only be the ending of the tribulation, but will also be the ending of the time of the Gentiles, which essentially began with Babylon. So Revelation 11:2, please, Howard. So that's half of the 7 years. Let's talk about the second half. It says the Gentiles will tread it underfoot. This is the temple in Jerusalem where the Antichrist will rule and reign from and make the world believe that he's God. And the Gentiles, notice it says they will tread it underfoot for the second half of the tribulation period. So we'll pray, we'll get started and understand this judgment. Lord, thank you so much for the privilege of meeting and studying your precious word. And I pray, Lord, now you would use it in our hearts to teach us, to grow us, Lord, and prepare us for what's ahead and give us those opportunities to tell others as well. But we pray you'll guide us in your wisdom and that you'll be pleased with our service. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. While we're talking about it then, let's go to Zechariah 14. And I just wanted to introduce this phrase, the time of the Gentiles, and then we'll look at the actual judgment of the Gentiles, which is also in Matthew 25. So, Roy, could you read Zechariah 14, verses 1 through 3, please? And again, it's talking about the day of the Lord, which culminates at the return of Jesus Christ to the earth. Yes, sir.
Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoils shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity. And the residue of the people shall not be cut out from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, and when he fought in the day, as when he fought in the day of battle.
So God will allow the Gentiles, this culmination of 10 Gentile nations, to attack Jerusalem, and it will coincide with the return of Jesus, who then fights for Israel and then gathers everyone together for a judgment. Remember, when Jesus returns, let's go to Revelation 19 and we'll be reminded of this. When Jesus returns to the earth, the first thing he will do is judge. So he's not coming as a babe in a manger. He's coming as a conquering king. And he will, before he sets up his kingdom, he judges. And we saw the judgment of Israel last week, or 4 weeks ago in Matthew 25. Today we'll see the judgment of Gentiles. So Revelation 19:11, Mark, if you could read that for us. 11.
Judge and make war.
This is the return of Jesus Christ to the earth, the end of the tribulation period, remember that the tribulation period is basically chapter 6 through chapter 18 of Revelation. Chapter 19, we have Jesus coming back to the earth. And he's coming back to do what? Judge and make war. And that's what we're studying. It's his judgments. And so we'll go back to Matthew 25 now. Last time we looked at the first part of the chapter, which talks about the judgment of Israel. Now, in the second part of the chapter, we read about the judgment of the Gentile nations. Here in Matthew 25, most of us know it as the parable of the sheep and the goats. Here in Matthew chapter 25. And as we read through it, we'll understand that the sheep and the goats are Gentiles. And they have different destinies, if you will. And trust me, you'd rather be a sheep than a goat at this judgment. But if you're born again, you won't be at this judgment. You'll be in heaven. Amen? Actually, no. You'll be with Jesus. We're coming back with Jesus. So you'll be there witnessing it, but you won't be part of it. Matthew 25. So we'll start in verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. So this is obviously talking about his return to the earth. It's not the rapture, but he's coming to the earth because he's sitting on his throne. Verse 32, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Now, Israel's already been judged in the first part of the chapter. And it's already been determined who goes to hell, who goes into the kingdom. This is the other nations, the Gentile nations. Let's see, where were we? Verse 34. Then shall the king, so that's Jesus, say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? So in the parable, the king is saying, you did these things for me personally, right? But he wasn't here during the kingdom physically, was he? So they're confused. They're saying, when did we do these things for you? And so now he's going to answer the question. Verse 40. Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. Now, who are his brethren in the flesh? Israel. Let us never forget, Jesus is a Jew. Amen? And had to be the fulfillment of all the messianic prophecies. So, what he's teaching us, and he uses the word righteous. So, the Gentile nations are going to be gathered together at this judgment. The sheep on the right hand, the goats on the left. The right hand is based pretty much on two things. Number one, are you righteous? In other words, did you listen to the preaching of the 144,000 Jews, 12,000 from each tribe, who preached that you must be born again through the blood of Jesus Christ? And number two, how did you treat Israel? And I know a lot of people say, oh, that just doesn't sound right. What about eternal security? You'll struggle to find eternal security in the tribulation period. And it should just make you that much more thankful that you're born again in the church age. Let's just say that. So part of this judgment isn't just whether or not you are righteous. In other words, you've trusted Christ. But how did you treat his brethren? Which goes all the way back, does it not, to Genesis chapter 12. Here we have it, you know, full circle. So let's quickly look at that, and then we'll look at the rest of the parable. Way back, the original promise that God made to Abraham, which is the first of the four unconditional covenants of the Old Testament, called the Abrahamic covenant. And I use the word unconditional because some of the covenants God made with Israel were based on their behavior, right? If you do this, I'll do this. And if you don't do this, I won't. This is an unconditional covenant where God said, this is what I'm going to do, full stop. And what did he promise to do? Verse 3, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. That's still true today. It'll still be true during the tribulation period. And so how people chose to treat the Jews during the tribulation period, especially the second half, when the whole world will turn against them, at that point, Christians will have a choice to make, will they not? I'm going to stand with Israel, or I'm going to stand with everybody else against Israel. And it will be a tough choice, because you'll be going against the flow, as they say. Sound familiar? I mean, really, who stands with Israel today? If it wasn't for Christians, or Christian quote-unquote nations, pretty much nobody stands with them. And that'll be true in the tribulation. So verse 41, then shall he say, back in Matthew 25, also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, I know that there are people in this room that have heard people take this parable and try to apply it to today. And talking about how we should treat the Jews right and all this. But the problem is, if this parable applies to us today, then we don't have eternal security, do we? Because these people are being cast into hell for mistreating Jews. It says everlasting fire, does it not? If we're going to take it literally, which we always should, unless we're told otherwise, these people are cast into everlasting fire. Verse 42, I was an hungered and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you took me not in. Naked and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer them, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered or a thirst or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister unto thee? Then shall they answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So this is, you can call this the judgment of the sheep and the goats, whatever you want to call it, but it is the judgment of the Gentile nations at the return of Jesus Christ to the earth. Much better to get saved now, amen? Then first of all, have to go through the tribulation and all the horrible things that happened during it. Have to deal with the Antichrist, the mark of the beast. And it's just going to be a horrible time. So just get saved. All right, so let's go to Zechariah 14 and carry on with this understanding of what happens when Jesus returns to, as we saw in Revelation 19, judge and make war. Yes, he's going to set up his kingdom. First, he's going to judge and make war. All right, Zechariah 14, 16 to 19. Anybody over here willing to read for me? Brad, thank you.
And it shall come to pass that everyone that is led of all the nations that came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the feast of tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth into Jerusalem to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, even upon him shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not up, they have no rain. It shall be a plague wherewith the Lord shall smite the heathen that will come not up to keep the feast of the tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the feast of the tabernacles.
Yes, some of the Jewish feasts will be reinstated during the kingdom because it is a Jewish kingdom. Don't forget. And the feast of the tabernacles will be one of them. And Jesus is God. And so if one of these nation states, if you will, during the kingdom age, says, we aren't going to go worship Jesus this year. Jesus is going to say, fine, you don't get any rain. And if they say, we're still not going to go worship, let's say, fine, you can have a plague. That's how it's going to work. Remember, there's going to be a lot of people in the kingdom who are not in their glorified bodies. We will be, of course, and we'll be ruling and reigning with Christ. So just hope that you're not ruling over one of these Gentile nations that's choosing to be disobedient. But Jesus will institute this, or reinstitute this Feast of Tabernacles, and it will be a requirement that everybody go to Jerusalem and physically worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you and I, of course, will do it because we're in our glorified bodies. We won't sin. But these nations who survive this judgment and go into the kingdom and then begin to multiply, there will be literally millions and billions of people again, because remember, the lifespan goes back up, pre-flood, no curse, no blackberries. Hallelujah. But it'll be an amazing time, physically, and these Gentile nations will then have a choice. So that is our fifth judgment of Jesus Christ, the judgment of the Gentile nations. So he will judge the Jews and the Gentiles simultaneously, right after the other, we don't know. If we're going to do it as Matthew lays it out, then first comes Israel, then comes the Gentiles. But it all happens when Jesus comes back to the earth. So thoughts or questions about this fifth judgment? The judgment of the Gentile nations. Anybody? Diane.
So we will have our glorified bodies and be ruling and reigning with Christ. Now those Jews that are saved that Christ coming right at the end of the earth, will they not be part of the body? So
they may be, because Jesus said they go into life eternal. So if they have eternal life, they're obviously born again. But how that works, the Bible doesn't say. So the question is, do they then, as they go from the tribulation into the kingdom, do they get a glorified body? Or are they just saved and have to wait for the glorified body till they die? The Bible doesn't tell us. Don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. She's talking about the Jews that survived the judgment of Israel. They go into the kingdom. Do they rule and reign with us? We're obviously going to rule and reign. We're told that. Do they rule and reign too? We don't know. Some of them, obviously some Jews have to go into the kingdom without glorified bodies, because they're going to multiply, right? You and I, it's not the same when we're in our glorified bodies. We don't marry and have children like we do now. So obviously there has to be both Gentiles and Jews that go into the kingdom not in glorified bodies, because they're the ones that are going to produce all these people that we rule and reign over, right? We're not going to rule and reign over each other, because we're going to be in our glorified bodies. And we get to the end of the kingdom, and what do we find? But multitudes, an innumerable multitude of people who decide, we don't like Jesus, we're going to fight against him. Can you imagine that? After living in a perfect kingdom for 1,000 years, they're going to rebel? That's what's going to happen. So, good question. We'll ask Jesus when we get to heaven. Other questions or comments about this fifth judgment of the Gentiles? I thought we might squeeze in number 6, but we're not going to do it today. Anyway, number 6 is the one that the Bible has the least to say about, but that is the judgment of the angels. So we'll study that one next week. We don't even know for sure when it happens. The Bible just doesn't tell us. It's sometime after the kingdom, and it looks like before the great white throne judgment. Maybe they're simultaneous. The Bible just doesn't tell us a lot about this judgment, but we know it's going to take place. And we'll study that next week. And then, of course, number 7 is the obvious one, the big one in Revelation 20, the great white throne judgment of all the lost. They'll be pulled out of hell, judged, cast into the lake of fire. Thoughts or questions? So hopefully we all learned something today. Amen. No questions, no comments? Yes, another one, Diane? Good.
I'm amazed after all those hail coming down and all the rest of it. What sort of percentage of people will still survive?
Well, the Bible says that 2/3 of the earth dies. So 1/3 left. Yep. That whatever the population is at the beginning of the tribulation, 1/3 survive. So if it's 6 billion, then 4 billion die. That's a lot of deaths. But that's a good question. Yeah, the Bible's very clear. 1/3 survive for this judgment. Other thoughts or questions?